It is lunchtime on a Tuesday, and we're with you till 2 o'clock. Stokely and Josh here on The Fan every day at 2. Appreciate you guys being with us. I wanted to have a bit of a fun little rich people problem conversation, Stoke, with our MVPs of the Mile High City.
Okay.
You know Nathan MacKinnon is up for the heart, and you know Nikola Jokic, I mean, can we say it? Like, he's the NBA MVP.
Yeah.
I think it's a wrap, right?
It's over. I mean, it's over. Yeah. I mean, there's 99.9% is. I just don't see any way possible. It's not, especially after the game the other night where he had, what, 30 or 20-something, 16 and 18. 18, I mean, big boy triple-double.
So. Big triple-double.
Yeah.
You hope, knock on wood, that they look like that against the Spurs coming up this evening and beat up on a bad young San Antonio team. But that's kind of the conversation I want to have. I want you and I to kick it around. I want Nugs and Avs fans to weigh in, and I want them to do it at 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com text line. Nikola has a better chance of winning. In fact, we're already looking at it as, hey, he is going to win this thing. But does he deserve it more than Nathan MacKinnon? Has he been the better player? Has he been more valuable to the Denver Nuggets than Nathan has been valuable to the Colorado Avalanche in teams that both have hopes for number one seeds? Might not work out as such, but, you know, looking at hosting in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs and then respectively the NBA playoffs on the other side, who provided, in the word that's in the trophy, the most valuable player, who provided more value between Nikola and Nathan?
Well, it's Jokic. You know, he's on the court more. You know, he's got the ball in his hands almost every possession, and everything runs through him. So it's just a different sport. So when you phrase it that way, it's got to be Jokic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see when he's not on the ice. I mean, excuse me, when he's not out on the court. It's like they look like a JV team sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And that's just credit to him. I think by far it's Jokic, and it's not even close. Not taking anything away from MacKinnon. We knew what he was on, that streak he was on.
Yeah.
And pretty much carrying this team, the Avs. But I think it's Jokic. What do you think?
I tend to agree with you on Nikola, but I'm going to make a case for Nate here.
Oh, talk to me.
Of what they have done. And it was 2 19-game point streaks. He did that twice. So, I mean, think about what life looks like.
Is that just home or is that all?
No, that's all together.
All together, okay.
He did it two different times. He got to 35 at the home, and that obviously would look completely different as well. And then I can't get it out of my head of what this team was pre-deadline and pre-Val coming back from rehab. If Nathan wasn't that player, because Stoke, they kept their head above water without Val. They kept their head above water with dragging guys like Ryan Johansson across the blue line night in and night out, and him getting pummeled and punked in front of the net the way that he was.
Wow. Goodness gracious. Wow. I mean,
dude, I'm back.
Just crushing Ryan Johansson, taking strays over there. Man.
Has he found another team, or is he just...
He found a team, I believe. Yeah, he did. I don't know if he still... maybe I dreamt that. I don't know.
Now they're dragging him across the blue line.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, the Avs were able to keep their head above water, and they were able to keep themselves in contention, despite maybe some of the feelings we had, that fans had, of, oh, man, they're going to be in some trouble. They're going to be in some trouble. And they did that because of Nathan MacKinnon. Now, he's got Kale, he's got Miko, Nikola has Jamal, Nikola has Aaron Gordon, Michael has shown up here, Porter Jr. in the this end of the All-Star break. But I worry about how bad that Avalanche team would have been this year if Nathan wasn't who he was throughout this year. Now, you can make the same argument for Nikola,
but
we saw it with the Avs.
Yeah, look, a lot of fair points there. We're having this conversation because both of them are great.
Yeah.
You say you can make an argument for both guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why they're both leading the MVP race right now with 7 games left or whatever.
Yep.
Both of them are odds-on favorite. The NBA just shifted. The thing just shifted here recently.
Really?
The odds. Yes. Nikola has dropped down a little bit to minus 700.
Okay.
Still a huge favorite.
Yeah.
SGA is no longer second.
Jason Tatum?
No.
Oh. It is...
One more guess. 3, 2,
Luka?
Luka.
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 Really?
Have you seen that dude lately.
Oh,
did you see? He did a like an underhand finger roll from one step inside the 3-point line the other night. Just absolutely remarkable. It's like, wait, this guy just did a finger roll from 1 foot inside the 3-point line around a defender. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Ooh. It's absolutely remarkable. So obviously he's on a little bit of a tear. Jokic is the huge favorite there, -700. McKinnon is the lead in the NHL. He's -320. So that's okay. The highest I think I've seen him.
That's still pretty big too.
It is. So got to feel good about both of our guys here being able to do it, becoming the second only in the same city to do it.
Mm-hmm. I got another question to tie that. Let's say it happens, and I think we're looking at a real strong possibility, as you mentioned, it'd be the first time.
I'll be disappointed if it doesn't. I mean, I'll be extremely disappointed.
I would too. It'd be Wayne Gretzky, Magic Johnson. The list would now double up to add Nikola and Nathan McKinnon. And do they have to win? Like, you get that, and that's the story of the second round when they announce these winners. But without a title, it doesn't. It's still cool, and in 10 years, we'll go, wow, remember in 2024? But, like, right now, in real time, you say, hey, you're going to have double MVPs, and it's only going to be the second time in history that it's done it. Without a trophy, a championship trophy attached to it, it's not that it's not fun, but it certainly isn't as fun.
Yeah, of course it's not as fun. But I keep them separate here.
You can?
I keep them separate. Yeah, look, it's hard to win a championship. Both those guys have delivered a championship. I think it would be a different conversation if they haven't won one yet.
Okay.
They've won one, and the MVP should have nothing to do with championships. How did you play during the regular season? And that's it. But it does for some reason. I want these teams to win a championship just because, like, that's fun and that's cool. Nothing to do with the MVP stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said, in 5-10 years, we won't. It's like, oh, yeah, they both won MVPs. I don't know if the Lakers and the Kings won the championship that year that Magic and Wayne won it. I don't know. I don't really care. That's still just a pretty cool stat that they both ended up doing it. But I don't know if they won a championship or not. It doesn't matter to me. So, obviously, I want the Nuggets and Avs to win because I'm a fan of the Nuggets and Avs. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to win championships. It's fun to watch playoff hockey and basketball. So that's my mindset in all of this.
Okay. And I know the Lakers didn't. That was the Bad Boy Pistons.
Oh.
Were winning at that. I don't remember the hockey off the top of my head as well as I do the hoops. But so one of them didn't. So did it feel the same for Magic Johnson and Lakers fans out there that saw him win it and then fall in the NBA postseason? I get what you're saying, and you're right. It's a regular season award. But it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah, and that was held against Jokic forever.
Yeah.
He hadn't won a championship. What does he want? What does he want? What does he want? And we can't give it to him. We can't give him 3 MVPs without a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, like, we can't do that. He's got to have that hardware. And so people were holding that against him. He got the hardware last year. So now he's accepted by, you know, NBA people as one of the greats. But, like, he had to win that championship to be in that category. And I understand it. It's like quarterback talk. Have you won a Super Bowl as a quarterback? Well, if you haven't won a Super Bowl as a quarterback, well, you can't be that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be that great,
right.
which I think is a little bit ridiculous, but that's just kind of, you know, it's you can only do so much as one player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, was Charles Barkley a great basketball player? Yeah. He's one of the all-time greats. He never won a championship. Okay. You know, it's like, I'm not gonna knock him because he never won a championship. And obviously, back then, it was a different era. He pretty much, I don't know, did he play for a team other than the 76ers?
Yeah, he played for Phoenix, and they went to a finals, but
that's right, forgot about that. Uh-huh. So, it's like, all right. But here now, those guys have both won championships. I think it would be cool if they both got to win an MVP in the same year and being from the same city.
All right. The Nuggets, Avs fans, how do you feel about it? 303-713-1043. Oh, this is an interesting one. The Nuggets wouldn't even make the playoffs this year without Nikola Jokic.
Well, they have so many playoff teams, but...
like they're a play-in team, maybe.
Well, they're definitely not the top six.
No,
definitely not the top six automatically getting in the playoffs. Man, after watching them and that group play against Minnesota and what they look like, I'm I might I I think I agree with him.
You do?
Yeah. Are they better than Golden State without Jokic? Nope.
No.
Lakers?
No.
Nope. Kings? Nope. Suns? Nope. So I think I would agree there with that texter. You just watch him play. I mean, that's – Nicole is everything. Mm-hmm. So I agree there.
And it's also – remember Jamal? What did Jamal miss? 20 games early on? It could have been real, real ugly. It had 15 not been out there for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
So keep the text rolling in. How do you feel about it? Do you need championships along with those MVPs, or can you separate the two with it being the regular season award? All right, real fast, going to tell you where we're going to be on Friday. Actually, our guy Postal Brian just said, where are y'all going to be for opening day? Well, we're going to be at El Patio, right across from Coors Field. We're going to walk you right up to first pitch. Then the drive is going to keep the party going until 6 p.m. We're also giving away a special, special prize, a sweet prize for the game. You have to be present to win. So make sure you come find us at El Patio. You come to the rooftop and say, hey, what's the special prize and how do I win? We'll tell you, and it could possibly be you winning said special prize. El Patio, starting at 10 a.m. all the way through the drive for Rockies opening day coming up on Friday. Be there with us and hang out. All right. Well, since we just mentioned about opening day, should we discuss the Rockies a little bit here?
Yeah, I think we should. I got some thoughts, and so I'll just get right into it. And then I want to get your thoughts on it, because we were watching it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I almost had a meltdown watching that group out there. It was as bad as you've seen. Guy can't field a ground ball in the outfield and gives up three runs because he can't field a ground ball. It just goes under his glove all the way to the fence. That's the stuff I saw with the Tigers when my son was on that team in the eighth grade. I'm not expecting to see it in the MLB, okay?
Yeah.
And that was the same guy that dropped a pop fly right to him the night before or the day before. So you can't catch a fly ball, like, right to you, and you can't field a ground ball right to you. And that's supposed to be one of our young, upcoming players there. Nolan Jones or what's it, something like that?
Nolan Jones.
So that's depressing. And then, anyway, so here's my story. Okay, Josh?
Okay.
And I don't know why I did this, but I did. Last year, took the under on the Rockies, cashed, bam. All right, sweet. This year, like, I don't know what I want to do on the Rockies. It's lower this year. You saw, like, 60.5. Some places have 59.5. And it's like, all right, probably just do the under again, right? They're probably not going to be that good. And then Zach and Bearcat started going back and forth. And Bearcat said, hey, I will take the under at 59.5. And Zach said, okay. They do these different season-long bets in football, too. Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills, win total, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so they have a stick going there. And I'm kind of jealous I'm not involved.
Okay.
So I'm on the outside just looking at this, and I'm like, all right. So Zach takes the over. Bearcat takes the under. $200 bet, okay? So then I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, a day goes by. I'm like, I kind of want to be involved here. But I don't want to battle Zach. I want to bat a Bearcat, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to roll with Zach here. I'm going to take the over 59.5, same bet. So I'm like, Bearcat, I'm in. Me and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, bet good. So I'm like, sweet, let's go. You know, give me pull for the hometown team. I know they're not going to be good, but, man, just get to 60.
Yeah.
Just get to 60. 60 and what, 102? All right, how hard? You got to be able to do that, right? So I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. I'm like, we're going to see a couple stars out there. And so I do the bet. And obviously the first game was the first game, right? You know, it's like, all right, 2-1 going into the third. All right, you know, we're battling. Then they give up 14 in opening day. 14 in one inning. You know, all-time records, all this stuff, right? Historically bad opening day. Lose the next one, win the next one. It's like, all right, we get this last one. Now we're 2-2. All right, back to 500.
Back to 500, right.
They lose it, obviously, and it's like, I'm not panicking yet. It's a long season. Jim, he comes with a cash out offer. Hey, cash out offer already, right?
Wow.
And I'm like,
Come on, Jim.
I'm like, you can take this cash out offer and stick it where the sun doesn't shine, Bearcat.
Good call.
Say, I ain't doing cash out offer. I'll pay you the $200 rather than tap out this early in the season. Yeah. The damn Rockies broke my will yesterday. They broke my will yesterday. So watching that game yesterday, and then Bearcat sent a text. He's like, does anyone want to take a peek at what the buyout offer is yesterday, right? And I said, I do. just give me a little peek.
You caved on April 1st.
I said, I want to see the number.
Oh, okay.
What the number
okay.
was, right? I want to see what the number was. Okay, what's the number look like? The number came back. $35 $35 I went straight to Venmo, and I Venmoed Jim $35, and I said, I am out. This is driving me insane. I'll follow from afar and watch you and Zach, and I hope Zach wins, and I hope they get over the number, but I can't keep doing this to myself. I just can't. I just can't do it. It's destroying me from within, having to pull for the Rockies, and then guess what? Being let down and disappointed. This way I can just be like, all right, they lost. I expected them to lose. There's no disappointment there.
Right.
And so I tapped out. I tapped out what 5 games into the season. Yeah. I officially tapped out on my over-under bet and just paid the $35. And I need to know, was that a good tap out? 303-713-1043. Let me know, did I do a good thing or should I wait it out and been more patient? I just couldn't do it, Josh. I just couldn't, man.
It is. I don't blame you at all. Let's get a gauge from the text line and see what they would have done in that situation. We got Maddie B texting in and saying, yeah, Jones has 3 errors in 5 games that they've played this season, and he's supposed to be the next guy.
Right.
He's supposed to be the up-and-comer. It is. And look, for me, of the Colorado Rockies, I don't have a lot of hate for them because I have absolutely zero expectations for you. To put it bluntly, they don't matter enough in my life for me to get upset or care about what they are doing. Because if I were to create expectations for the Rockies and then hold myself accountable to those, I'd be just as mad as you are right now. Be furious about the situation I put myself in. But this is who the Rockies are. They've played 5 baseball games, Stoke. And 2 out of the 5, they have literally been viral moments the wrong way. 2 out of 5 games, you have been the laughingstock of Major League Baseball, and you went viral for all the wrong reasons. This Rockies season, outside of runs like Rocktober and as bad as this team has been, we might be in line for the most memorable Rockies season of all time for all the wrong reasons. These kind of reasons. Getting scored 14 on you in an inning. Having a team go through the lineup twice. Your ace giving up all of those runs in Kyle Freeland. And then the Little League play. I mean, to call that a Bad News Bears play would be disrespectful to the Bad News Bears. That's how bad that play was yesterday from Nolan Jones. So I am maybe even more today than I have been in the past. I'm going to watch the Rockies, Stoke, because it's like that car wreck on I-25. I got to know what went wrong. And that's how I will now consume and watch the Colorado Rockies for how bad they're going to be, so I can say, I was there when the Rockies did this. I was there when the Rockies screwed this up. That's now why we consume the Colorado Rockies. And how sad is that for real baseball fans in this town? Because that's not me. But that's now how I'm going to watch this baseball team.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to watch them at all. So I told you that they're going to have to earn my viewership, and they have not earned my viewership, especially now that I tapped out of the bet. I am totally checked out on the Colorado Rockies. So if they can play better and look better and give me something to watch, then I will. But other than that, there's no need to watch or use or it's just a waste of time watching that team. I mean, they are literally a waste of time to watch, unfortunately. And that's awful to say. It stinks because I love watching the Rockies, but I just can't do it this year. It's just it really is just a waste of time. They're a bad product. You can't catch a pop fly. You can't field a ground ball, and you can't get outs, and you can't score runs. Why am I going to watch that team? Why? And so I'm so glad. I slept like a baby last night. I tapped out of that damn bet, and I'm like, man, I don't have to worry about grinding. Like, okay, wait, what number win are they on? Okay, oh, they got to win 20 out of their next 23 to get to 60 wins and for me to win that bet. Absolutely tapped out, and I feel so much relief because of that. I'm just freed up, man. It's just like, beautiful day. I don't have to worry about the Rockies. I got nothing on the Rockies this year. Nothing. So makes my life better. And I feel better because of it. So
yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'm not hating on the Rockies. I hope they start playing better. Hopefully they go on this great run. But it's such a bad product right now and such an historically bad start to the season. Like, come on, guys. What are we, this is professional baseball. Like, what are we doing?
We had a bunch of texts come in. Right tap. Not a good move. A great move
from
Brandon Stokely. One texter of the 50, 60 we just got in a row says it's way too early. They'll hit the 60.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see.
So they just stayed in, but that's the one right there.
But I'll say to that texter, they might hit it. But, man, the grind of getting to 60 and how much disappointment will be along the way, that will take a year off my life. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Again, Josh, guess what? Risk-reward. Risk-reward. Yeah. It's not worth it. I'd rather just tap out and be able to enjoy day-to-day beautiful sunshine out there. Oh, did the Rockies win? Oh, no, they lost? Okay, cool, whatever. Yeah. Let's go about my business, right?
Right.
So that's where I'm at, and I'm more than content with my decision there to pay up and tap out.
A lot of folks are saying it's their ASMR. It's the noise they use to sleep. Like, the Rockies are their white noise,
oh,
and it just puts them to sleep.
Yeah.
Which is like, I always kind of viewed, before I cared the way about golf that I do now, I would always go, oh, I'm going to watch golf on Sunday because you get a great Sunday nap in, and then you wake up and the guys are on 16.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I enjoy the golf, but yeah, I might have to try that a little. Oh, man, I bet Kelsey would love that. Let's, we're going to fall asleep to the Rockies game, and it's 16-3.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what are the announcers talking about at that point? They have nothing to talk about.
The other team?
Yeah. Maybe that will put you to sleep.
Touch them all time, but for the other guys, I guess, is what we can get into. Here's this great joke, Stoke. It's a classic for the Rockies. Someone broke into my car. They stole my radio, which really pissed me off. But was what upset me the most is I had 2 Rockies tickets on my dashboard. And they left me 4 more.
Wow. They left you a few more. A few more there. All right. Okay.
I guess that is the other thing of this. There's going to be a lot of available seats at Coors Field come this summer, and probably for a pretty decent price.
Yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. I know that the ballpark does a good job of attendance even when they're playing bad, but you're going to start to see, I think, the fans speak out a little bit. To a certain degree, I think you will. And the product not being good for now years, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
And then also just the downtown area. A lot of people don't want to go down there.
Yep.
You know, they just don't. So the product, and that's the only way to really send a message, right? If fans stop showing up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a part of like any kind of boycott or anything, because you want to go. Have fun. Enjoy it. But I won't be going. Maybe one game this year. That'd be about it for me. So it's not fun. It's so much more fun around here when this time of year there's expectations and there's some players that you love to go watch and see. That's just not the case.
The Rockies sent us in the media an email last night about Thursday. They do it before.
Did they apologize?
No.
Oh.
We'd like to apologize about you having to talk about us during the summer. That'd be nice of them. But it was about all the new stuff at Coors. They do it every year. Hey, media, you get to come the day before and you get to taste some of the food and they tell you about the new additions. And it's actually really fun. They do a good job at that. But I read the email and I'm like, so they're going to come and bring media that are critical of them, very critical for the most part. Unless they pay you, I guess, be nice. But so you're going to go do that and you're going to show me how much money you spent inside the ballpark while you literally spent $0 on players that play inside of that ballpark. What in the hell is that?
Well, yeah, you got to have some good food.
Yeah, well, they do.
Well, because you know the product's not going to be good,
yeah.
Right? You want people to keep coming back, good atmosphere, usually great weather. You need all the other stuff, too. So maybe that's what they're looking at here.
All right, Rockies fans, you upset? You don't care anymore? You written them off here on April 2nd? Let us know at 303-713-1043.
Freeland on the mound again tonight.
On the mound tonight. It's his first start since he let 18 batters roll through that lineup and give up 14 runs on opening night in Arizona. So we'll get back to that conversation, see what we expect from Kyle this evening. Let's talk about these Nuggets, what the plan should be down the stretch, how we expect them to look against the Spurs tonight. And is Jamal Murray going to be playing? We'll tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Broke up with my girl last night, so I went to the club. Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coat sitting on dubs. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to.
Here we go. Little T-Pain.
Yeah, T-Pain.
You like T-Pain. You like T-Pain, some, what's this, Akon too? bartender. This puts me back here.
Yeah.
I mean, the spot as a young man where I made some bad decisions. But Ludacris.
And some good decisions.
Yeah.
And not all bad.
Right. Mostly, though. Yeah. But Ludacris, T-Pain, they're going to be at Cheyenne Frontier Days. It's Thursday, July 25th. Dude, that's my birthday.
Aww.
All this week, you can win three times a day. You're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to that show. Luda and T-Pain, July 25th, up in Cheyenne. All you got to do is listen to us here on The Fan. Schlereth and Evans in the morning got some chances for you. Me and Stoke have a few chances for you. And, of course, The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay will have a couple chances for you to win a pair of tickets. Let's hit caller four right now, 303-713-1043. If you are caller four, you're going to go see my man Luda and T-Pain coming up on July 25th this summer up at the Cheyenne Frontier Days. That's a nice deal right there.
Yeah.
That's a nice deal.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Luda about the outfit he was wearing in that State Farm commercial when the kitchen floods.
I'm not even sure about that.
Okay. Well, if you've seen it, you'd have some questions as well. But go ahead. Good luck. Let's get somebody going to see Luda and T-Pain this summer up at Cheyenne Frontier Days. All right, Stoke, let's talk a little bit about the Nuggets. They got the Spurs tonight. Will Jamal Murray be available, officially listed as questionable? He's gone through his pregame routines and stuff like that and looking normal for the most part as far as what he does in that pregame routine. But maybe the Nuggets played their hand. We don't know yet anything. But the Nuggets do their, like, game day tweet, you know, like, hey, game day, tip off at 7, watch the Nuggets, listen to the Nuggets, all that stuff. And you know who was on the graphic of the tweet today?
Who?
Reggie Jackson.
Hmm.
Does that give you any sign of, like...
No.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not reading into that.
It's just somebody on Twitter?
Yeah.
That Twitter person probably hadn't talked to Coach Malone yet today, is what you're saying?
Probably not. Okay. I don't think they had their hour meeting, daily meeting.
He gives the social media team an hour of his day every day.
Yeah, so they probably hadn't had that yet.
Okay.
I'm not reading anything into that at all. But I'll tell you this, I wouldn't play him tonight. Not at all. If he's close... Even if he says, I can go, you're going to play at the Clippers on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much more important game.
It is.
Right? I think we can beat San Antonio without Jamal Lewis. Oh, my gosh, I said Jamal Lewis. Holy shnikes.
I would love to see him in a football game.
Wow.
You imagine standing trying to take a charge on that guy when he's driving to the paint?
What the hell is going on here? Without Jamal Murray, okay? Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. They should be able to.
Right.
Yeah, the Spurs we're talking about here.
Yeah, Greg Popovich. You're supposed to be down there.
I know.
To go just give him like I can't even say it.
I'm debating right now.
Oh. It's not even worth your time to give to him anymore.
I'm coming
off. He's probably nice now.
Well, I actually have a question that might... Like, my question, I practiced this already last
time. Oh, you did?
Because he's kind of a mean person.
He's a jerk. He's not kind of. Yeah. Bad guy.
The way I was going to preface my question would have already made him mad.
Good.
Like, I was going to say, hey, you know, Josh, or Coach Josh here from Stoke and Josh, 104.3 The Fan, every day from 10 to 2. Check out our podcast at denversports.com. That's what I would tell him.
Right.
And I would say, I think you're going to poo-poo this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I haven't had a chance to see you face-to-face since this story came out. And then he'd say something ridiculous, and I might not even get to say anything else after.
Right.
But it would be, when do you think it's an appropriate time for fans to boo?
Oh.
Like, you know, the fans that paid to get into the game. When do you think it's okay for them to voice their opinion as a fan?
That would be good.
You think so?
That would be great. Yes, I definitely do. If you got the stones to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about what he thinks. It's
right.
Right now it's like I had a long weekend and, you know.
Yeah. That would be good. Yeah, because he's the one that told his fans, home fans, not to boo Kawhi Leonard.
He took a microphone and told them.
An opposing player.
Yeah.
And told them how to fan. So, yeah, that just shows you how arrogant that guy is. oh, really? But he plays for the other team.
Right.
And he's on the free throw line. We want him to miss, Coach. No. Oh, we're supposed to cheer for him? Right. Like, when does that stop? I get it. He played for us 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when does that stop? Like, when can we stop cheering for him and start booing him? I like that question, Josh. But I think overall, we don't need Jamal Murray tonight. Give him one more rest day, and let's see him in L.A.
Yeah.
Play the Clippers. If he's ready to go. If he's not ready to go, then push it back. Mm-hmm. I really don't care. But tonight, I don't think is a night to play him. But so that means they're going to play him tonight. He's playing tonight, folks. That's what it means. Seriously. Yeah. That's the way. Like, Michael Malone says this to us about health and this and that. And then it's like, oh, coach, we're up 20 with a minute 30 left to go in the game. Like, you might want to get the guys out, you know. And they're still in the lineup. And so they tell us one thing, but sometimes the actions are totally different. So I'm kind of expecting Jamal Murray to play tonight, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, trying to think of it, I guess, maybe from Coach Malone's perspective is like, yeah, it's the Spurs. Let's get him back here. It can be a limit restriction, right? A minute restriction for what he's going to do and not hurt the team that much if you want to go to L.A. and get a win against the Clippers because you're fighting to keep them out of that top three conversation. You probably want him to play 30-plus minutes if he can do that. So that would be the reasoning today. I'm just kind of looking at it from his eye, right? Like, well, let's easily get him into the rotation
just,
tonight.
Just so that ease him in there a little bit tonight. Yeah. Play him. So if that's the idea, what are you looking at?
18 to 20 minutes.
Okay. I was thinking about 16.
Okay.
So 16 to 20, 18 to 20. So that's almost two quarters of basketball. I like that. You know, I don't mind. Certainly, I think if you do play him, that's the plan.
Okay.
Anyway, he's not playing 30.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
So you hopefully you got the game in hand going into the fourth, and you don't have to play him at all. And so, 14, 16, 18 minutes, I'm good with to ease him back into it. And if not, hey, we'll see him against the Clippers. If not, hopefully against Atlanta. I'm not rushing Jamal back. When he's ready to go and he feels 100%, he can play. Until then, I'm not worried about it. But I do think it's important that he plays at some point here because mm-hmm. he's missed four or five games already. Yeah, it's been five games since the New York game when he got hurt late in that game. Five games. Like, I don't want it to be another seven. Then all of a sudden it's like, all right, first round matchup, get ready to go against, I don't know, let's see, who could it be, the Lakers or Golden State or whoever it could be.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that situation to where he hasn't knocked any rust off. You're talking about conditioning, basketball shape, mm-hmm. all of those things. And we saw him, I forgot what game it was, after he came back from one of the other injuries that he had, the shin splints, it took him a little bit to get back into basketball shape.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't play at all, it would be close to a month of time of not playing in a game to playing in a playoff game than being the first one back. You're absolutely right about the basketball shape. That is a real thing that they have to consider. So let's see what it looks like tonight. I'd love to see him against L.A. That's going to be a big one because you can pretty much eliminate them from really being in the conversation of landing inside of that top three with a win over the Clippers on Thursday night. So we'll see what it brings tonight. Hopefully we'll have an answer for you before we're done at 2. If not, the guys on the drive will tell you for sure whether or not Jamal Murray is going to go. Right now, he's officially listed as questionable for the Denver Nuggets. So we'll find out what that's going to look like real, real soon. All right, we saw something last night we hadn't seen yet, Stoke. The season's first no-hitter with the Houston Astros. I want to have a conversation about, like, individual accomplishments for athletes. And where does a no-hitter, a perfect game, rank amongst those? We're going to answer that question and get your guys' idea of what the best individual accomplishment an athlete could achieve inside the game is coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Quick shout out to Hannah up in Thornton.
Hannah Montana.
Hannah was listening and heard us ask for caller 4 to go get some tickets to Ludacris and T-Pain. Is that me? Oh, it's me. Dang it.
Wow.
How did that happen?
Your computer laptop actually screwed up. It wasn't mine for once.
Oh, wow. I know. I was watching the Angel Reese stuff.
Ah.
Her trying to Tell people about how it's hard for her to be who she is stuff. And
like, when things go well, you run your mouth and you talk blank all the time, and you're cocky and you're arrogant, and you just talk trash. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then when you lose and you get your ass whipped, It's like people are so tough on me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Come on.
You can't have it both ways.
Nope.
And that's all of LSU basketball, women's basketball. I was so glad they lost. That put a smile on my face. And then there you go at the end of the game. It's that stuff right mm-hmm. there, right? It's like grow up.
Yeah. And it's fine if that's who you want to be. But then you can't cry about it coming back at you.
Exactly. Because
you've done that your entire career. Be that person. In fact, sometimes I like that person.
Yeah.
But don't sit up at a podium and then cry about how tough it is to deal with the nonsense when you created the lane that you live in.
Bingo, bango.
Yeah, so absolutely ridiculous. But that's what I was watching her cry at the podium
yeah,
and got there with it. But Hannah in Thornton is going to get all the right. tickets to go see Luda and T-Pain up at Cheyenne Frontier Days. The guys on the drive and the morning show will have some opportunities for you as the week rolls on, as well as us, to get you up to Cheyenne Frontier Days. All right, Stoke, let's talk about good baseball stuff, like a no-hitter. A no-hitter happened last night. It was, 5-6 games into it, unless you're the Dodgers or the Padres when you played 3 games in Korea for a weird reason. But we had a no-no from the Houston Astros. Ronel Blanco threw the season's first no-hitter in just his 8th career start as a Major League Baseball player. The kid's actually got a pretty cool story. I went back and read a bit about him because I had never heard of him before. He was like, according to some of the stuff I was reading, and maybe this is now amplified because he threw a no-no, but he was the last guy to make the roster for the Houston Astros this year. Got told he was going to make the roster on the last day of camp. It was also the same day that he had his second child. A little girl came into the world, and he's being told he's going to be on the big league team. And then, you know, a handful of days later, he throws a no-hitter. It's the 17th in Houston franchise history. Gave up just 2 walks, had 7 Ks. So the 2 walks, obviously not making it the perfect game there, which is, that's the real one, Stoke, and what I want to talk about. A no-no is beautiful. Congratulations to Blanco for doing it. But a perfect game, is that the hardest statistical accomplishment for a pro athlete to achieve? All sports, like a perfect game in baseball thrown by a pitcher. I believe that's the hardest thing to achieve as an individual.
Yeah, very difficult, obviously. Nothing bad can happen. You can't give up a walk. Your team can't have an error. And it's got to be 27 up, 27 down. That's it, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, that's really, really difficult to do. Well, let's go through the other ones that are possibilities yeah. out there, right? I mean, what is it in football? Like, what would the football equivalent be?
A perfect passer rating from a quarterback that threw, 4 touchdowns
right,
or something?
Nope.
No? Okay.
No, I mean, that's, I just...
It's not better than.
Yeah. No, right. I can't think of one that compares to...
Hit for the cycle. Like, this is baseball. But, you know, that's right. pretty dang difficult
as
well.
That is. Single, double, triple, and a home run in the same game.
Hat trick,
no. But no, I mean, those are good ones. But I don't think they compare to a perfect game.
Gordie Howe hat trick? Goal, assist, and a fight?
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm into that. But triple, double? It's so common now
that
it's taken away.
Jokic does it like every other night.
Hole in one.
That's a good one, but nope. You see, tour guys, you see it every weekend.
Okay.
Pretty much every weekend out there for the tour guys. So I would say no on that one. How about this one for golf? But we've only seen it really once, maybe twice. It depends on how you look at it. And maybe only the Grand Slam of golf.
He went all the majors.
And Tiger did it. He held all the majors titles, but they were in different years. Do you follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, say he didn't win the first or second one this year. He won the 3rd and 4th, and then he won the 1st and 2nd next year.
Okay.
So he held them all at the same time. They were just in different years.
So consecutive, but not in the right order.
They were exactly.
Okay.
So
and that's still
just
pretty dang cool.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It will never happen again. It just won't happen again. There's just no way. But that was remarkable to be able to do that. Yeah. What else do we have? Anything in
some
tennis?
Some people are texting in. I mean, there's a Grand Slam in tennis, right? You can do that, win all the majors there. 400 yards rushing in a game for a football player.
Okay.
Doesn't still feel like it.
No, there's really nothing for me in football. Because football is not an individual sport. That's an individual award, right? So it's hard to, you know, 500-yard passing, 700 yards passing, whatever. No, Not the same.
How about bowling a 300? Somebody just text that in.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I mean, that's really also difficult to do.
Yeah. I would guess and speculate that you probably see that more than perfect games, though.
What, 300 of bowling?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, C.J. Anderson did it like last year.
That's true.
Right? Didn't he have a video? He's done it multiple times.
He has done it multiple times. I have a buddy that's done it multiple times.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he is not an athlete.
Yeah. So, like, if your buddy's doing it,
yeah,
it's not an athlete. And, you know, we're seeing perfect games. Like, you might see one a year if you're lucky.
Yeah. I think it's the most difficult.
I would say so.
I don't know, a hole in one. You're right about the pros doing it, but it's still, I mean, that is.
I've had two hole in ones.
Okay, you're right. It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's just like, and to be honest, like a lot of it's luck, you know?
Yeah.
Like you could hit really good shots and like it just didn't spin in. And then one time you hit it, it's like, okay, well, went in the hole. Wow. Sometimes it hit the flagstick and bounced.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of luck involved with hole in ones. And we see those a lot. Every week. Saw a couple of them last weekend.
I can't believe you've had two.
What do you mean you can't believe that I've had two? Look at this.
I mean, you.
Look at this. Look across from you.
Drew told me how your golf swing is.
Oh, well, you know, hey, I like to be transparent here.
Okay.
And when I played with Drew and Chicken Fingers and Zach last year, it was depressing. It was a bad, but it's like sometimes you have bad days.
Yeah.
Right? That's golf. And it was a really bad day for me. I mean, I couldn't do anything well, and Kisner carried me to victory.
Kisner did. Nice, Kev.
My shoulders are still hurting.
Yeah.
And your back from carrying Stoke all that way.
It was impressive. So he did. He carried me to a victory. I was nothing that day.
This is mean to this guy's uncle, but he writes, if my fat uncle Bill can get a hole-in-one at his local club, that's not verified air.
There we go.
So I think he's putting you and Uncle Bill.
Verified or rarefied?
He wrote verified. Yeah, I just read it as such.
Yeah, you read it.
Yeah.
You should have helped him out there.
I read anything that's in front of me.
Right.
I'm the Ron Burgundy of the text line.
Oh, perfect. Gotcha. Verified air.
Someone also
or
said,
rarefied, but that is true.
A 900 series in bowling. So what, you're bowling 300s?
Oh.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's 100 consecutive free throws are some of the things. Somebody's texted in a few different times a quadruple double in the NBA.
Okay.
You know, four statistics. You add blocks to it or steals to it. Turnovers.
How many times has that been done? Has it ever been done?
I don't know. I mean, the staff on that one.
Okay.
I would imagine, like, don't you think Wilt would have done one of those? Playing against guys that look like me?
Yeah, me and you.
Right. Like, he's going to block my shot 10 times.
Right, exactly. And he's going to, you know, do it. He might have had what's a 5 triple-double?
Oh, God, that's above my pay grade.
Blocks and steals.
Yeah.
Rebounds, points, assist. But I would put a perfect game up there with about anything.
Okay.
I mean, that's a very difficult thing to do. And but it is. It's got to be the right context because football, like, what are we doing? No. You know, basketball is, you know, they have some stats there that go against it. But most of the time it's like, okay, pitcher, you're by yourself up there. Or a hitter, you're by yourself up there. So that's individual stat there. As a receiver, you need a quarterback. As a quarterback, you need everything else around you. So
there has been some quadruple doubles.
Yeah. Okay.
Nate Thurman did it back in October of 74.
Nate was a baller, a sneaky under-the-radar baller. I think he played for the Knicks or the Bucks or the Kings or the
Bulls.
Bulls. Yeah, well, that was my next one I was getting
you
to.
You were getting there.
Yeah.
You were getting there.
Baller.
He's also, take a look at that. He's wearing two gold chains he's on the game.
Yeah.
Which I can appreciate. I also wear two chains.
That's right. You are.
It's a two-chain Tuesday for me and Nate Thurman right here. He did it back in 1986. Alvin Robertson did it for the San Antonio Spurs. 20 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, 10 steals.
10 steals. Wow.
That's a big one, right?
Yeah.
Hakeem did it. Olajuwon did it back in the 90s. Doesn't look like David Robinson got one in 94, and that's it.
Wow. Last one since 94.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to go for next year with Jokic.
What's he going to do? Blocks, steals?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Turnovers?
No, that doesn't count. I don't know. What's the most blocks he's ever had in a game or the most steals he's ever had in a game?
He's had a game with 4 or 5 blocks.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
what about steals?
Right there.
So how did you get the two chains? How did two chains come about for you? Like, when did that – did it start with one or did it, like, I'm going two right away? Like, how did this – come about for you, Josh?
That's a good question, actually.
Thank you.
I did start with one.
Uh-huh.
And then I was kind of like, you know, Goldmember on Austin Powers, like everything is gold.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, man, that looks good.
Right.
What if I had two of those?
If one is good, two is great.
Right. That was the thing.
Okay, perfect. I love that thought process.
So I bought another one.
There you go. All right. I thought it was something like you know, that was my mom. She passed it on to me or my dad, you know, something like that. You one looked good.
I was just feeling myself.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Perfect. I love that.
Kelsey's not a big fan when I wear both at the same time, but that's why I wear both at the same time.
Perfect.
Kind of make her mad sometimes. Yes. All right. Let's take a timeout. Come back, kick off the top of the hour, getting in. To a quarterback conversation about Bo Nix. Is there something that Bo Nix said to a podcast host that will turn us off as to who he's going to be as an NFL quarterback? We'll share the details and let you judge for yourself next.